Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for returning to my channel, or even better, coming for the very first time. So speaking about the Russo-Ukrainian War, here we are well over 4 years into it. And so the past week or so, Ukraine has launched a few attacks on Wildberries warehouses. In case you don't know what Wildberries is, that's a Russian company that's been going for almost 20 years now, and it's really online shopping and shipping things to you all over the Russian Federation, or indeed a few other former Soviet countries. And it just uses that English word, Wildberries. It's not like Diki Yagodi, which would be the Russian translation. So owned by the wealthiest woman in Russia, who's ethnically Korean, but that's another story. So anyway, the really military targets, especially around Moscow and St. Petersburg, are heavily defended with air defense. And so air bases there, Russia, you know, managed to protect. Ukrainian drones, missiles, and so on very rarely get through there. Obviously, there's no such thing as absolute security. You can't be strong everywhere. There are some air bases further away that Russia can't defend properly, and Ukraine has managed to hit military units. But there are all these economic targets, and Russia's tried to crush the Ukrainian economy, destroying its power stations and so on, because, you know, the modern economy, you can do almost nothing without electricity, freeze people to death in winter, attack their railway network and so forth, which is also used for troop transport, as well as for civilian transportation and so forth. Steal their grain, sell it as Russian grain, and so forth. Okay, seize their mines. So to collapse the economy, if it doesn't quite work, it makes it even costlier for European Union countries or other Western countries, even Japan, South Korea, Singapore, to fund Ukraine to help them survive. So the Ukrainians have hit back, you know, hitting Russian oil refineries and so on. And that's where the huge queues for petrol at these petrol stations, and making one of their Black Sea ports really just so unsafe. They can't export anything by it. But now Wildberries. Now, what Ukraine is saying that makes this a legitimate military target is Wildberries supplies body armor for the Russian army. They send it to the Russian army. Often Russian kit is so bad, soldiers buy their own. But that's only a small fraction of what Wildberries does. So this is a rather thin argument. And that's why you could say it's attacking a civilian business. But, you know, oil refineries are civilian, but then obviously some of the oil goes to the armed forces. And some warehouse workers have been killed, like two in Belgorod, which is near Ukrainian border, and in several other places, Yekaterinburg, which is like the fourth biggest city in Russia, there in the Urals Mountains, formerly Sverdlovsk, indeed where the Tsar and his family got shot dead. So yeah, hundreds of drone attacks last Friday and Saturday, and some days before. People have been running away, often doing it in daytime. Why? But is it because they want to kill the warehouse workers, or because they want more people to witness it on the street rather in the middle of the night? And it's destroyed a lot of stock. And the thing is, this isn't insured. So the company, often, yeah, Wildberries is doing it for other people, doesn't have its own products. One company, their things are sold and they're shipped via Wildberries. So the stock goes to Wildberries warehouse before being sent to whoever's house. And then that company, they've lost their stock. The person who paid for it, he, she hasn't received the goods. That business model can collapse. No more online shopping. Shopping in person is obviously more difficult because without enough fuel, goods aren't being moved around the country by truck and train so much. And if you can't fill your car, and people can't be driving to supermarkets or other shops that much, you know, even buses may be running short on fuel. And there's a great inequality in the regions. Putin, at all costs, want to keep Moscow well supplied. Second most is hometown St. Petersburg. The poorer regions, especially of ethnic minorities, are the most of the people there. Well, that they can just whistle, so far as he's concerned. Try and recruit them, get them killed, and keep indigenous, well, you know, ethnic Russians alive so much as possible. So this is really damaging one of Russia's biggest businesses. And the owner, Ms. Kim, is saying just how terrible it is. And Ukrainian drones have got an increasing range. They're able to hit oil refineries in Tyumen, that's in Siberia, over 2,000 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. And can they go further and further? They're important assets in the Russian Far East on the border with China. And I thought they might go for these oil pipelines that actually send oil to China. And then the Chinese would realize, well, it's actually very much interest to bring this war to an end, Why don't we tell Russia to end it? We could economically pressurize them to do so. You know, China's economy is so much bigger than Russia's. It's been Russia's biggest trading partner for over a decade and so forth. More to China selling them the components that allow them to continue the war. But, you know, got to blame the European Union too. Most EU countries are selling things to Russia, often they're dual use. And in these shot down Russian drones, they find components which were manufactured in various European Union countries. The Irish Republic, aluminium, you know, start selling aluminium to them. We shouldn't do that at all. And some of it is used for military purposes or not buy anything from Russia at all. What does Russia produce that nowhere else in the world produces? Nothing. Okay, so the oil and gas, you wouldn't buy any Russian oil and gas. And okay, it's been reduced a lot by the European Union. Then the price would go up a bit, but I think it's a price worth paying. We're paying in money, the Ukrainians are paying in blood and so forth. So, and it's stupid to be saying, here's your money to Ukraine. And by the way, we'll be giving money to Russia as well. Okay, buying things, but that counteracts the military aid and indeed the humanitarian aid to Ukraine. If we didn't purchase anything from Russia, we wouldn't need to give so much military or humanitarian aid to Ukraine. Well, the war would end sooner and it would save lives as well. So it's just a no-brainer. So yeah, this is hurting the Russian economy and it's obviously bringing hope into the Russian public. This war is bad for you, hit you where it hurts in the wallet. Because if you're a well-heeled Muscovite, say, you're not conscripted, never your family's going to be conscripted, you're not the blandishments offered by the military, you're not tempted by that, and life could continue as normal. Okay, sanctioned goods. I mean, I remember speaking to a Russian-Ukrainian lady a couple of years ago saying, well, I know in Moscow shopping, you can get everything before the war that you can get it now, but it's going to take a bit longer and it's going to cost 10% more because often it has to be through sanctions invasions ordered via Turkey or Kazakhstan or one of those. But, you know, when the airport is continually shut, Sheremetyevo and the other Moscow airports are continually shut for a few hours, delaying flights, cancelling flights, hundreds of flights, businesses going under, particularly small businesses, they're looking at a banking crisis. There's growing personal, corporate and public debt. And that's just unmanageable. Nobody else will lend to them. Nobody else wants to invest. Obviously, there are very few foreign tourists. I mean, Chinese and Indians are so the only tourist nationalities going up. And people realizing that if you join the army, that's little more than a death sentence. If you don't get killed, you're likely to get wounded. The fact that the chance to come back unscathed is quite low. And obviously, don't trust a word the Russian government says. They say to these failing undergraduates, why don't you join the drone force? No danger, no danger. And of course, they'll lie to you and then send them into the infantry and to meet attacks. They don't send dozens forwards in one go. They've learned that is too much of a waste of human life. Remember, a British-Russian friend said, as in Russia, human life's got no value whatsoever. But they'll send them forwards in twos and threes to try and seize a building or whatever, and another two and another three and another three and another two, so they have enough to make some real move in a Ukrainian position. But anyway. So this is arguably legal. I'm not sure it's very ethical, but of course, it's very easy for me to be moralistic. What if I was Ukrainian and there'd been atrocities against my people, you know, hundreds of people murdered in Bucha, wide scale rape committed against Ukrainian women in the Russian occupied zones and so forth. Systemic torture against Ukrainians who are prisoners of war and so on who come back emaciated. It's just horrific. So I might say, well, the gloves are off and they do it to us. So we're going to do it back to them. You know, not targeting huge numbers of civilians, but we are going to hurt their economy, just like they tried to crash our economy. And that'll bring the war to an end sooner. And that'll save lives on both sides. So I suppose I'd probably bet by that argument. What say you? Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.